Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! Coming off of an incredible weekend, I had a lot of fun. I can't wait to tell you guys about the weekend I had. Outside of the Dogs losing and the Falcons losing, which we'll get to.
Right.
I know in Atlanta right now we're all feeling some kind of way, right? It's just right now the mood of the environment that we're in. And today there's no better example than us being in the bullpen. And literally we're having a nice, relaxing conversation. And all of a sudden it turned. And it got dark. People started dropping F-bombs. I mean, Bo's going off.
Okay, all right, me.
You're going off. And I'm like, what happened? This is the environment right now in our city because of what's happened. And by the way, it's a culmination of things. Braves lose last week in the most horrible way that you possibly could. Then you fast forward and you go, well, we got the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then the Dogs lose a game that they shouldn't have lost, which we'll get to. And then we lose yesterday. And so all of this crap is just building and it's sitting on top of us right now, Mike. So if you are out and about today, and I'm just putting this out there as a PSA, and you see somebody, be nice, okay? Because everybody right now is on edge.
No. I had a wonderful Saturday. Saturday, we hung out, me and a Don Mojito, 10 hours up at Road Atlanta. One of the best days weather-wise. I know if you went to Talladega, they got the worst end of it with the weather on Sunday. But you Road Atlanta, I love sports car racing. And to me, Carl, this is the most exciting. Like, it's just fantastic. We had great real estate, walked around the whole track, met a bunch of people. Tons of folks drinking Hey Man, took some pictures, put that up at Mike Bell ATL. It was just a great day. And then I'm literally walking by because I got all the games DVR'd. I wasn't expecting Florida State to beat Clemson. I presume Georgia was going to struggle with South Carolina for a half and then pull away and probably beat them, you know, by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And I come up on Nikki and her husband. He's got a Hey Man. And they got the TV gun at their camper. And I go, whoa. What the is this? And then you realize that at that point, Georgia had to, they were down 17-10. And he's like, oh, yeah. He said, Fromm has been terrible today. And they got, you know, they're very predictable in the run game. And then I finally got to watch it today. And it's exactly right. Predictability with Coley. We'll talk about it in the dog report. But just a reason to really have a bee in your bonnet. You know, Georgia, you know, they are just giving it away. That was very Mark Richt-like. Kirby's first real Richt moment, Carl. And then the Falcons, nothing we haven't seen before. Let a team get a big lead on us. Matt Ryan to the rescue, but it's always too little too late.
Yeah, and anybody who's pointing the finger at Matt Ryan, he was great yesterday. That's dumb and stupid. Stop. We know what the problem is. It's defense. The defense has been the issue. It's been the issue since week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and now we're 1-5. And when you let Kyler Murray go off like he did yesterday, where you did nothing, Dan Quinn, to confuse him or to make him make mistakes at all in his rookie season, which is when you're supposed to do those things. You know, I don't expect him to do that to a guy like Drew Brees, right, who's seen and pretty much done everything in this league. But a Kyler Murray to not be able to do anything to frustrate him. And you know, the bigger thing is, on this Falcon Monday, guys, we still are not getting to the quarterback. We have now gone three straight weeks where we have not had a sack. Three straight weeks. And this team was vulnerable. Marcus Mariota was pulled yesterday. He came in here and looked like gangbusters against us a few weeks ago, as Tennessee put it to us.
They scored 24 points against us. They've scored 7 points together in the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, Kyler Murray, we couldn't get him on the ground. All the work that was put in the preseason about, you know, RPOs, and now we're going to change the defense. And look, I said it on Friday, Carl. I was worried about the secondary because of the injuries and guys having to cover. You know, we got guys coming off of, practice squads. You got guys pressed into service that maybe really can't handle the job. And it was just brutal. I mean, everything we thought was going to happen kind of happened. How about that, the check down that goes for, 40 yards? You're like, what the heck? And then we can't get David Johnson on the ground? These guys are bouncing off him like he's made of Teflon.
Tackling's been terrible. As a whole, it's been bad. But I think, guys, this is indicative of where we are as a football team and an organization with our head coach. And I want to take you back for a second. It's Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You guys can always find us social media, 92.9 The Game. That's our radio station on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Find Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up, See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 92.9. If you go back and you think about Dan Quinn since he's been here, okay, and even in the Super Bowl year, here's the misnomer about the Super Bowl year. We went to the Super Bowl because of our offense, not because of our defense. The defense in the playoffs was opportunistic. We got turnovers, but our offense was so good, we converted those turnovers into points and teams couldn't keep up. But overall, Mike, we still had the 26th ranked defense the year we go to Super Bowl. Not in points allowed. Mm-hmm. We were top 10 in points allowed, which is the stat that everybody always refers to. Oh, a few years ago, we were top 10. Giving up about 19 points a game. But we were in the 20s in everything else. So you had the number one offense and basically the number 26th overall defense. Points allowed, we were top 10. But, Mike, outside of that, even if you go back to last year, we started 1-4. The previous year, we were 3-0, and then we lost 3 in a row. There's always a stretch during the season that seems to go bad for Coach Quinn. And in his first year, the year that I made that bold proclamation, right, I'm starting to look ahead. We were 5-0. We lose to the Saints in week 6. We go 5-1. We beat the Titans. The next week, we were 6-1, and then wet the bed. We lost 6 games.
Yeah, we lost 6 in a row, 7 of 8, if you take it back to that Saints game you mentioned. That's the 2015 year. They go and get Alex back. They address some of the issues in the offensive line, put a fantastic line together. And then I think we lost 3 in a row in 17.
But even without Alex Mack, Mike, we were 5-0.
Right, I get it. And last year, of course, we all know how that went. You know, we felt pretty good. We started off with a 3-game losing streak, then get a 3-game win streak. We beat the Redskins, and then the Browns begins another long losing streak. So if I'm Arthur Blank, I mean, what are you looking for here? I mean, do you have the meeting? Because Monday Arthur meets with Dan at some point, or at least they discuss what happened. And you say, you know, look, maybe we should just let somebody else on staff handle defense and you just be the head coach. You know, I mean, it would be a little embarrassing, slightly humiliating. But, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. Truth be told, I do believe this team can still salvage this season. But you've got to get somebody who can get a grasp of what to do with the people you have. Whatever he's trying to do with these guys, it ain't working.
It's not working.
So if you got to find a better way to build the mousetrap, you got enough coaching power there. Raheem Morris was a defensive coach. You got, Bob? Who's the guy we brought over? Bob Sutton from Kansas City. He's been around. He's a lifer in the NFL. I mean, I just don't know what to do with this. I don't want to see anybody lose his job. But, hell, man, we're all based on performance. Everybody. You know, unless you're a civil servant or you work for the government and you can't get fired, everybody else has to do the job or they will get fired.
Yeah, and even those folks get fired sometimes. 404-741-0929. Where's the consistency is what I'm getting to. This isn't a one-year thing. And for people who don't live in our city and haven't watched our football team over the last 4 or 5 years, you don't realize that this has kind of been the MO. Our defense, guys, since the Super Bowl has progressively gotten worse. How, when your head coach is a defensive-minded guy, his background is defensive line, and yet we can't find our way to the quarterback? How? If you believe we're in our championship window with Matt Ryan and Julio and all these other pieces we paid big money to, then how do you salvage it, as Mike says? And so that's what's on Arthur Blank's mind right now. Whether you just sit back and see how this thing plays out, does Dan Quinn only have a few weeks to get this right and then there'll be a move made? I mean, that rarely happens, and especially here. I've said this. I'd be shocked. We keep talking about the bye week. For me, if you don't think it's right now, move on. There's no reason to wait and feel comfortable because we get a week off. There's still going to be this transition period. If you feel that way, you might as well pull the trigger.
I mean, it's amazing in 16, and all these young guys, and they're all rookies. You know, Debo, Keanu Neal, everybody was a rookie. You know, Devondre Campbell, and the guys did a really good job. But you had a guy like Dwight Freeney. You know, Tack was close a few times yesterday, but he didn't get him on the ground. And the one time Vic does get Kyler Murray, it's a horse collar. Now, again, I know that's ticky-tack, but the NFL's enforcing that now. But it's just we have no pass rush. The only saving grace we got for the Rams is they're in a hot mess based on, you know, call it the Super Bowl losers hangover, which we overcame in 17. He's a sitting duck. Yeah, he got sacked four times. But here we go. Shiny point number two. 49ers, 5-0, with Bosa coming off the edge like a fire breather.
Yeah.
They got pass rush. They got an average Jimmy Garoppolo. They're working around him right now, but they're getting results week in, week out with Kyle Shanahan, who's 10 times the coach Dan Quinn is.
All right, so with all of that said, guys, on this Falcon Monday brought to you by Xfinity, it's Beyond Wi-Fi, it's X-Fi. You'll hear Coach Quinn coming up around 6 o'clock tonight for the coaches segment, and we do that each and every Monday. It's not a new thing if you're new to the program. He's joined by Dave Archer, and they talk about the game and then kind of look ahead to what's coming up, which is these next two home games. If you feel like Dan Quinn is in trouble, maybe you're on the side of, well, I'm not ready to fire him yet. Well, then he has to win the next two. He has to win the next two. 1-5 is bad, Mike. 1-6, you can forget about the playoffs. There have been, I think, a select few teams, maybe three, if I remember correctly.
The Colts last year, right?
That came back, yeah, from a 1-5 start. But, guys, it's far few in between. It is a miraculous thing to happen in this league because you see how inconsistent things are, not just with our football team. Look around the league. Cowboys on a three-game losing streak all of a sudden.
Well, that's just it. I mean, and you know, there's another guy who's probably in the – I mean, at some point they got to move on from Jason Garrett because he's just, you know, he's an empty suit. You know, he's just sitting there. He's a headset on a ghost body. But, Carl, we got to go 9-1. We got to go 9-1 to make a 10-win season in the NFC. Now, the good news is you just laid it out there. The NFC is still wide open, you know. I mean, Seattle looks like they're just going to keep on grinding out ways to win with Russell Wilson coming to the rescue every day. 49ers have finally been tested by a good offense, and they shut them down. But, I mean, you know, Minnesota, we've already seen what they can do. We experienced that firsthand. We got to sweep the Saints, Carl, if we were going to go 9-1.
Yeah, good luck with that. And I'm the last guy that says that's want to say that. But you guys, if you've been watching, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater hadn't lost since he's been inserted into the lineup.
We got a healthy Matt Ryan, a healthy Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Muhammad Sanu, Freeman, Austin Hooper. And we're losing. We're 1-5. The Saints are just eking win out after win out with Teddy Bridgewater. It's unbelievable. Then you got. Did you say to yourself, self, how is this happening? Maybe the coach just can't do the job. Maybe the coach had a plan, but now it's complete. It's out the window. And I'm not saying the guys. I'm not in that locker room to know if the guys have tuned him out. Because that's like the sports talk radio 101. Well, the team has tuned him out. The team just isn't that good. You drafted guys, and you picked them up. And I don't know if Debo's lost a step since the injury. I don't know. But this defense is crap. He handpicked it, and it doesn't work. So if you're Arthur Blank, what more do you need to know, right?
I don't need to know anything else. I think that as Falcon fans, if you look back since we lost the Super Bowl, guys, our record, Dan Quinn's record, 19-20. That's not good. Defense has been worse. We've had two defensive coordinators since he's been here, and now he's the third. That's not good. I mean, I just, when you look at this overall, you start to realize, and by the way, if the talent's not there, and I keep hearing this, Dukes, we're not that talented, well then what happened in the second half of this football game yesterday? Well, why is it that we were absent in the first half, and in the second half, all of a sudden, we're playing lights-out defense? What happened if the talent's not there?
Well, I got a theory on that. I'll give that to you a little bit later in the show, because I think Arizona kind of helped you out. They got a little bit of a tight sphincter. I thought that Coach GQ, Cliff Kingsbury, kind of got a little tight. And a little conservative. But either way, we still turned things around. The offense did its job. But the offense has got to do what it does in the second half and the first half. When can we put up a lead where we're up by 7 or 10 or 17 on somebody?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that gets us back to the business model in 16. Then the other team got to pass, and then your pass rush gets more effective.
We're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest. The last 2 weeks, just think about this for our Falcons, right? Our offense has scored, when you look at the last 2 weeks, geez, we go and score 30 on the Texans, 32, and then we scored 34, right? We gave up 53 and 34, or 33, actually.
Yeah, 300 yards in the first half to Kyler Murray.
To your point about the offense, we know what the problem is, and the head coach is in charge of it. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Menu! Venue is the word. Text it to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. We're giving $1,000 away right now. Your chance between now and 2:59 to text venue to 72881.
We get a change of venue. We come home this weekend. Venue, V-E-N-U-E, venue to 72881 for a grand. Pick up the phone if somebody calls you.
All right, man. We got headlines coming up. more of your reaction. I don't know where you are. I know where Mike and I are. We'll talk to you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 2019 Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Get the most games right each week for your shot at $1,000. Score the best for the entire season, and you could win a trip to Miami for the big game weekend and $5,000, guys. Get signed up today at 92.9thegame.com on the events page. It is Dukes and Bell. It's a Monday. It's a Falcon Monday brought to you by Xfinity. And we're talking about where this team is, how we got here, and where do we go. We will talk plenty about Georgia along the way, guys, as well as the Dogs lose at home. A year from the day that they lost to LSU. Mm-hmm. And Kirby talked about the fact that, you know, there is similarities in these losses during the regular season for the Dogs. And you'll hear what he had to say coming up about that. Also, we'll hand out some game balls, no balls along the way in the 3 o'clock hour as we'll get to our NFL Blitz. Lots of good stuff happening around the league. I was a little surprised the Texans went on the road and beat Pat Mahomes and company yesterday. But it just goes to show you, I think, Deshaun Watson coming into his own, Mike. And some stones by Bill O'Brien to go for it in their own territory on fourth down.
Yeah, I mean, we've been giving him some heat, but I thought that was a pretty good, well-coached game by them. And I think the Colts have kind of showed you the blueprint. Have you guys seen the time of possession the last two games? It's kind of like the Giants in Super Bowl 25 against Buffalo. It's nearly 40 minutes, like 37, 38 minutes of possession to keep Mahomes off the field. It sounds easy, but if you got the horses to do it, and they did, Texans are able to get it done. But, yeah, Mahomes, you know, the guy that everybody's going bananas over. I think if there's an MVP right now through the first quarter in a game of the season, I'd go probably with Russell Wilson. He just finds a way each week. It's amazing.
It is. And we get a chance to see him up close and personal in 2 weeks. This upcoming Sunday at home, it's the Rams. You said this before we get to some headlines. You know, there are times in a season where you want to be catching teams. We thought that about Arizona, right? I mean, they're giving up sacks. They don't do anything particularly well. And then all of a sudden we go lose even though we're on the road. Rams right now, guys, and some people are talking about a Super Bowl hangover. You remember that conversation. I don't know what it is, but they're not executing well. Their quarterback play is not great right now, and they're coming in here on Sunday, Mike.
Yeah, the Cowboys have got offensive line issues. The Rams' offensive line has not been great. Their defense has been giving up the big play, too, which is kind of surprising. So, yeah, I mean, the Rams, the good news is, 74 yards or whatever Goff threw for? I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, for an offense with all those weapons, with those wide receivers, you know, with the running backs, with everything they've got, that's unbelievable. Yeah, Goff had 78 yards in the air, got sacked four times by the 49ers. So, I don't know. He's much more of a stationary target, so maybe Tack and Vic can meet at the quarterback. We all knew going in, all these guys we just talked about Russell Wilson, all these guys that are mobile was the reason why Dan Quinn was tweaking the defense. I don't know what this defense is now.
We are ranked 31st, by the way, in the league defensively, if you're wondering.
And if you add it all up as far as, you know, turnovers, the whole shebang, we've given up more points than anyone.
Yeah. So, if you're going, I don't get it. What's going on with this team? That's what's going on with this team. I mean, it's plain and simple.
I mean, the offense, because now let's not start throwing all bouquets at the offense. You know, we had a 17-16 lead against the Texans down in Houston. We were down 10 at half here. We were down 17 in the third quarter here. But the offense has got to get on track and be able to do things. At the Colts game, same thing. Offense was just haywire. Mm-hmm. Matt threw that pick. And by the way, we're not blaming Matt for anything, but I mean, everybody's got to be better across the board. I thought certainly if you watched the game yesterday, Austin Hooper with big catches. Julio, for some reason, inexplicably, Julio was not drawing double coverage, or certainly not very often. So we were able to get stuff going in the second half, but it's always coming up short because you've dug too big a hole. That's the story every game, save for the Eagles.
Yeah. Now, we're not going to not talk about the elephant in the room. Matt Bryant's got to make that extra point, but it shouldn't have come down to that. And when you talk about all the things that took place in this football game yesterday, yeah, he's got to make that. He knows it. He knows he let the team down. Mike, real quick, when the Falcons decided to move on from Matt Bryant, I think we both understood that move financially and with his age and the things that were going on with the football team and turning the page and thinking they had found the guy in Tavecchio.
Right.
They didn't find that guy, and so they end up having to bring him back. But the move, from a football standpoint, was fundamentally sound. You're moving on from a 42-year-old kicker. The problem
who had an injury, by the way, and missed three games the previous year.
And the problem was they didn't have the guy that they thought they needed in place, so they found themselves having to go back to that. It's not as if, oh, you guys wanted Matt Bryant. I think the Falcons didn't have a choice based on what we saw in the preseason.
No, I mean, again, it's that whole, you know, we talk about it, that rogues gallery of washed-up kickers that have choked it away at other places, and that's why, you know, they're always out there on the float. So you bring in, you know, Joe Yablonsky. Everybody's like Ray Finkel from like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. All those guys are out there for a reason. You know, Matt, he's getting up there. And by the way, Matt, heartbroken. I was heartbroken looking at him at the sideline. I thought he was going to break down. I mean, it looked like he was for a minute. I don't blame him. But, I mean, when things aren't going well, everything gets compounded. You know, you dig yourself a hole, you come back, and your kicker, who's like 98%, or even better than that on extra points since they extended the extra points now, and then he can't make it. But, again, you can't put it all on him. You know, you had all these other moments in the game where your defense is completely flailing. You've got, guys out there running and running in space. We can't tackle. You know, I literally don't know if Vic and Tack are going to get a sack. Now, this week, I think they got a better chance just based on everything we just talked about with Goff and how their line is performing. But this was a team, Kyler Murray, Carl, was sacked 21 times going into that game on Sunday.
And we didn't touch him. We didn't get him on the ground one time. Mike, I'm over Vic. I'm sorry. I'm done. He had one tackle yesterday. He's completely not shown up the entire season. I told you 2 weeks ago he doesn't love the game. My opinion. And I see other guys around the league who were drafted as high or higher performing better than this guy. And he's 5 years into the damn league. I mean, I'm just over. At some point, this whole thing about coaching guys up, go play. Go make a play.
Right.
Stop about technique and what you don't have and what you don't do or what he does do. Go freaking make a play. At some point, players play. Coach up my ass all you want. Go make plays. And he's not made one stinking play all season long. I'm over that. That's done for me. Whether Quinn is here or not, I've moved on. Go get me another guy that can get after the passer because this one is not getting it done.
Now, we talked about the penalties. The Falcons, by the way, if you didn't watch the whole game or you didn't see it, 72 yards. The referees, and again, I said this earlier when it came to Matt Bryant and missing the extra point. When things aren't going well, you don't need the refs piling on. The NFL officiating has been god-awful. Tony Dungy, hey, man, bless his heart. Tony Dungy's been on this from week one on Sunday Night Football. But the NFL officiating, the punt, fair catch, it goes off his foot. I don't even know what the hell they were calling. I don't know. I looked it up. I literally, like a nerd, I went to the NFL rulebook online, and I couldn't understand what the hell happened. You know, there was the play where I personally don't know if a guy's on the ground. Mike Pereira said there's a mystery angle, which we never saw.
We didn't see it.
You know? So there's two big plays there. But, again, when you aren't making your breaks, when you are a loser team, loser things happen to you, and that's exactly what happened on Sunday.
You guys can chime in, 404-741-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. We are brought to you and driven this hour by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. The scheme is also failing us, and it has. And I think we got a sense of that over the last couple of weeks with the quarterbacks that we've seen. We talked about this. Think about who has basically eaten us up. Mm-hmm. You know, Marcus Mariota, who's now might be out of a job. Indy starting a guy that hadn't played and all, you know, he goes 16 for 16 or whatever it was to start the game. Yesterday, Kyler Murray got off to a great start because we're allowing all this room because you don't trust your corners.
Right.
Mike, all three of these guys, and I'm specifically talking about Sunday, just the guys that were on the field, Sheffield, Jordan Miller, Isaiah Oliver, boo, all bad right now. And I know Oliver is still growing into it. Sheffield's a rookie, boo. So they gave Kyler Murray way too much room, and he's just whoop, whoop, whoop. That's what this kid does. That's how he won the damn Heisman.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that complicated, guys. It's not hard. It's Dan's defense stinks. And guys are hitting us up right now on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll get some calls going later at 404-741-0929. We go, well, what was going on in Seattle? He had better guys, dude. He had better guys. A better GM, better guys, better talent, Legion of Boom, swagger, edge, tackling, hard hitting, Cliff Avril, Bennett. These things help. Okay, we got guys who can't get to the quarterback. We got Grady, the only guy who's going to – and Debo, I thought, you know, Debo looks good. I don't know. I mean, what do you think's up with Debo? Is it a victim of scheme?
I do.
I mean, he's still making plays. He's still usually right up there on the top of the tackles, you know, as far as the sheet for – it's either him or Devondre. But still, there's just – something's missing with this defense.
Well, that's the thing. You go look at the stat sheet, all of a sudden Devondre Campbell's leading the squad in tackles now. And you're going, what's going on? I think, again, it's what some of the stuff that Dan Quinn has been trying to do. Nevertheless, mm-hmm. Yeah, I still – and that's my thing, guys. Grady's playing his butt off.
Debo did blow up, as Craig just mentioned, as Sweet Billy just mentioned, did blow up the third one.
Yes, he did.
They got some stops. And you guys, if you watch the game, I don't know how many guys could sit through it because maybe you could tune out at halftime. But when they started getting stops, And even I thought, you know, I'm not a big Brennerman fan. I thought he did a nice job with Spielman on TV for Fox. He goes, wow, look at the Falcons. They got a, all of a sudden, we got our balls back. All of a sudden, we got some swagger on the sideline. There's some confidence. Okay, this thing's not over. I was on Twitter going, this game is not over. And then we go three and out. You know, we force a punt, and then we go three and out. I mean, it's just, But the defense, you could see it, Carl. There is a spark there, but they couldn't sustain it.
And that's it. All right, man. Plenty more on the Falcons on this Falcon Monday, brought to you by Xfinity. We'll come back. We're going to hit some headlines. Astros-Yankees, if you're not paying attention, great series. We'll also hear from Kirby. What happened on Saturday? It's next. Coming up, Mike, I'll tell you what I did this weekend. I know you had a great weekend up there at Road Atlanta. Saw all those great pictures. Follow us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, and the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Lots of folks enjoying Hey Man L, and I know some people were enjoying it after that loss yesterday. It was heart-wrenching after the Falcons go down to the Cardinals. We'll continue our conversation about that. We're going to get into the dogs as well and what went wrong in this game on Saturday. It's seemingly everything. But I got to tell you guys, and dog fans are not going to like this, if Georgia doesn't fix the one thing they need to fix, they will not win the national championship. They've got everything they need. They've got all the players they need. But there's one thing they have to fix to win it. And if they don't, it's not going to happen. And they may not even get out of the SEC championship game. We'll talk about it coming up here on Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, because now the cocktail party, as it usually is, you know, barring another loss in conference, that should be for all the marbles. That LSU game, man, that was fun to watch. We'll get into all the college games, but there was some, I mean, there was some interesting storylines, and the Georgia thing just blew. Like I said, when I got that score, man, with a few minutes left in the fourth, I'm like, unbelievable. And then when I watched it, I'm just, you know, I just, why does this happen? Why did this happen, Forrest? I go, because the coaches do stupid stuff. You know, sometimes it's like we give these guys carte blanche and all this, and sometimes you just go, you know, it's really not that complicated, but and everyone's got a plan until, like, you know, we always hear that you get hit in the mouth. But we will give credit when we get into the dog report. South Carolina, man, they just stymied that old line, man. They did a nice job.
Yeah, it and we were texting, you know, because I was out Saturday and you didn't see it live. I didn't. I literally was watching on my phone around, you know, seven other people going, are you serious right now? Because I don't think anybody who wasn't watching the game live believed the score. Because you got into the fourth quarter and you're going, 17-10? What are you talking about?
And look, it's been nothing but rainbows, unicorns, and bouquets thrown Fromm's way. And we're guilty as charged, okay? We've always said, look, you know, Kirby's going to make the right move for the team. It's just hard when you see Justin Fields and you see all these dynamic quarterbacks, especially during the Heisman race, and you see Fromm. Look, he's had a bad day. He had an awful day. His worst day as a Bulldog. End of story.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. Craig's behind the glass, our engineer, running the board. Of course, Bo Morgan producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's hear from DQ first. Trying to explain something.
You have to put everything you got into it, every ounce of it, preparation, study, mindset, mind, body, heart. You got to put everything in. And so that's the life we live as competitors. And but I love the, you know, what the second half felt like, the, you know, attitude for it, and on the sideline, the demeanor, everything.
You know, Bo and I were having this conversation off air. I'm critical of Kendall Sheffield. Don't know how good he's going to be. I hope he turns out to be a great player. Isaiah Oliver just doesn't look the part right now. Just facts. Jordan Miller is a guy that we picked up, and we're trying to, you know, install him into this system because of the issues we've had in the secondary. You had True not playing this last weekend. But Bo was saying Sheffield, he thought, played a better game than what I'm giving him credit for. Here's my issue with these things. When you're down the way we were, at what point did he start to play well? Because as the game started and you let Kyler Murray get in the rhythm, nobody was playing well. Nobody was covering anybody. Nobody was really tackling anybody.
Right.
So if he had a quarter where he looked good, or a series or three series, the point is I need consistency. It's what I'm asking of the head coach. I'm asking of the players. I'm asking of every coordinator. That's what we're not getting, Mike. And that's the issue when you start talking about how these guys played, specifically when you start pointing out individuals. That is the issue.
I just thought that Cliff Kingsbury, look, this is his first year as a head coach in the NFL. And I think it showed. I think he got tight. I think he didn't want to see a turnover from his quarterback. So they kind of, and they would go for high percentage passes, you know, short, quick hits. But if you guys look back at when we were getting back in the game and we finally tie it, they go three plays, 9 yards. They go, let's see, 3 plays, 0 yards. And they only burned about 3.5 minutes a clock. And so you could see, pardon my French, if kids in the car, the sphincter is getting tight collectively on the Arizona sideline.
Exactly.
And that's where we talk about we're getting our stuff back, and that's when Sheffield guys are bringing up the coverage. You know, the guys are – I thought they were just being very, very predictable was Arizona as they were more open in the first half. And then, unfortunately for us, we force them to punt, and when it's tied, we can't go down the field. We actually go 4 plays, 11 yards. That was before the two-minute warning, and they got the touchdown.
Here's our quarterback, Matt Ryan. Again, if you're going, well, Matt, don't be an idiot. Matt was unbelievable yesterday.
Todd McClure always told me when I was a rookie, he was a veteran center for us, there's no momentum like momentum. And so when you get one and you get another one on top of that, there's no telling what can happen. And so for us, you know, a ball bounce our way, make a play here or there, and we've got enough guys to get, you know, a little run in us.
Let's hope so. I mean, again, we're in dire straits right now. 1-5 is ugly. There's no way to you know, excuse what has happened. But just stick with me hypothetically here. You win these next two, Mike. Didn't even sound right. Rams, Seattle. You go into the bye week. And then you get into your division play. Now, my issue is New Orleans been great without Breeze, and my guess is they're going to be even better without him. Cam Jordan was a beast over the weekend. He's getting to the quarterback like crazy. He's making tackles look dumb all over the league. Their defense is improved. I'm just giving credit where credit's due, and it pains me, Mike, but New Orleans looks like the real deal, and that they're going to make another run at this thing. And Carolina, coming out of the bye, I'm going New Orleans, Carolina, in our division play, has now ran off 4 in a row.
Yeah, our buddy Rick Stroud down in Tampa writes the Tampa Bay Times. Remember that old NFL Play 60 commercial from a few years back where Cam's in a playground in Charlotte and his little kid going, hey, man, I want to be quarterback for the Panthers one day. Oh, that's great. Yeah, man, you can be my backup. Cam's like, whoa, easy. Yeah, your mom will be. I'll be your favorite. Your mom's favorite player. Hey, hey, hey. And it's this little white kid. So people are saying, wow, who knew that this kid would grow up to be Kyle Allen? So it's just kind of bizarre how, you know, when Cam is healthy from the Liz Frank injury, there's no guarantee. And Ron Rivera's like, look, we're in the here and now. Great way to play that question.
Yep.
You know, when reporters were asking him. Meanwhile, there's no way in hell Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston will ever start in the NFL after this season. End of story. Mariota's already been benched. They're just awful. And if you didn't see it, Jameis starts the game with a pick, and they have 5 interceptions over there in London as they fall to Carolina.
It was ugly. It was. There's no doubt. That's our division, though. I'm just laying out.
So that's, I mean, if you're looking for some silver lining, you know, we could probably squeeze a win out of Tampa Bay. But I'm just worried about the Rams. McVay's been – everybody's been just – let's be honest. Everyone has anointed McVay the boy genius. Other teams went out to find guys who coach and look like him. But now he's got a 3-game losing streak. And now they got to come east to Atlanta on Sunday. Goff looks like a lost puppy. Mm. So if ever there was a chance, Carl, I mean – and look, I feel like I'm trying to convince myself of something. But, I mean –
well, we really are.
But that is a value – I mean, there's a valid argument that the Rams are lost right now.
All right. We'll see. But that's what you're hoping when Dan Quinn talks about – you know, putting everything into it, and Matt Ryan saying the season is not over. Meanwhile, guys, you have the best kicker in the country. Hot Rod is the best kicker in the country. I will stand by that. I love this kid. I think he's got an NFL career. To not give him an opportunity in regulation was not on Hot Rod. That was on the coaching. And that's where Kirby blew this game on Saturday. But if you missed it, Rodrigo Blankenship misses the 42-yard field goal.
Blankenship looks, nods, says he's ready to take it to the third overtime. Kicks it up. And no good!
He missed it!
And the Gamecocks win it in Athens in second overtime. Carolina takes down number 3, Georgia. They win it 20-17.
I am not believing that.
South Carolina Radio Network, by the way, Mike, with the call. Hot Rod had, you know, a couple of kicks malfunction on him. If you go back and look at his numbers, though, he's 11-11 on the season, I think 26-27. This kid has been money. So everybody, and rightfully so, thought this was a no-brainer, but it wasn't to be.
Well, as we said, James Coley play calling, so predictable. Seth Emerson's got a great breakdown in The Athletic of, you know, run up the middle. You know, there was just so much predictability with it. And then the receivers weren't helping him out, but then Jake Fromm was awful. The moment, which I have not heard people say, but I said this on Twitter the other day. Do you remember, Carl, you get the ball with 40 seconds, you got 2 timeouts. After South Carolina must champion incredulously tries that long field goal, there's DeAndre Swift releases out of the backfield. You've got him on a crossing pattern. He's going to get you in a field goal range, even better than the 55-yarder. Fromm throws it behind him. Jake Fromm was god-awful. Okay, let's call it like, I mean, we all love the kid and yada, yada. I know the mythology of him down there in Houston County. He's terrible.
From town.
It was a terrible game, okay? And then when you actually hit your receiver in the hands, he's going to go play volleyball with it. So the passing game was just god-awful. But you still have everything in front of you. But you and I have talked about it. It raises questions. Another thing, Kirby Smart. Kirby gets really tight late in games. It happened again. Calls that timeout thinking that they're going to go for it, South Carolina, when they weren't. I mean, just Kirby's got to take a breather, man. It is what it is. You're choking big moments away. You did it in, you know, conference championships, SEC championships. You got to have some poise.
In all the major losses, for the most part, there have been a couple of factors with the Dogs. But Kirby has also made a coaching mistake in those L's. Going back to the SEC championship game, fake punt. You could talk about over the weekend. Go back to the LSU game last year. Here's what Kirby had to say about South Carolina in regards to losing on Saturday, but then letting this go, because if you linger on it, they beat you again.
Well, it goes into effect on this game. Number one, you can't turn the ball over. We got to correct those mistakes, and our guys have got to focus on Kentucky. The most important thing for us is Kentucky, and that's us getting better. And a lot of it has to do with us inherently looking at ourselves and saying, okay, what can I improve? A lot of the things that we can improve upon are based on what Kentucky does offensively, defensively, and special teams, and that's where our focus will be.
I mean, you know, the offensive line is all these five-star guys, supposed to be the best O-line in the country. South Carolina got out. They out-physicaled him, you know, to be quite honest, Carl. Then we also talked about, you know, the play calling. You know, then you've got, of course, the defense, which has got to get some pressure. Now, in Kirby's defense's defense, they did not give up anything in the second half until overtime.
Yep.
But you let a third-string quarterback beat you, in essence, in the first half.
It was ugly, guys. More on this in the Dog Report and the thing the Dogs must do. If they don't get it done, they're not winning the championship. Hey, real quick, NLCS, unbelievable.
You stay up to watch it? You have to watch your Astros?
ALCS last night, yes. NLCS, Cards are down 2-0. Their bats are cold all of a sudden after all that hooping and hollering here in the ATL. So it looks like the Nationals may go on to win this thing, but we're not there yet. Last night, though, a moment that a lot of people are talking about, Yankees-Astros, the series is now tied at 1 thanks to one guy.
First pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking up. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later. Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th.
He pimped it. I tweeted it this morning if you didn't see it. He literally hits it, stares it down, turns to the bench. He does the Hulk Hogan thing, Mike, like, I can't hear you.
Right.
Looks at the dugout, looks in the stands, and then starts trotting, and then does the jumper thing as he gets to home plate. Amazing. He's a good player, but they're loaded. Springer, Altuve, they've right. got bats up and down that lineup.
Amazing, though, all that hype you talked about with the Cardinals and all that trash talking. Soto, I guess they don't like Soto either, but they haven't been able to do anything about it so far. Down 2, now heading to D.C.
NFL Blitz is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.